Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning or good afternoon. This is George Gamond, and I hope everyone's having a beautiful Tuesday, getting the week off to a great start. Really? I hope so. And what's going on? Oh, we're going to talk a little bit about the word fear, but I'm not just going to leave it at that because that's not fair to leave it at fear because, you know, who wants to sit in fear all the time, right? But we'll get into a little bit more about love as the opposite of fear and some quotes on both. But I thought I would address the idea of what, and I got a nice article about the top 10 fears. So if you have one different than that, let me know. And I kind of will be opening myself up a little bit. And as I go through the top 10 fears that people have, I will mention mine. See if you agree with any of these, you know, fear. But we'll talk about fear as in the versus love as we go through the show. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about lately, and it's like, oh, he thinks too much, right? No, I don't think too much. But I'm thinking about, I was in sales for years and years and years, and I was talking to a friend of mine. We go to breakfast, and Don and I share breakfast Saturday mornings, and sometimes his wife comes with us, but sometimes she's just, it's a guy's night. It's a bro thing, you know? We go out and have breakfast, talk about the world, and I was talking about, I don't know how I got into it, my sales days and selling. And I know this is going somewhere, so bear with me for a minute. We'll get into fears. Or you can call in, and if you have questions that you need a soul answer on, please call in. We'll talk about that. Because that's what I was talking about is sales, but also the idea if you're selling yourself or you're selling a product, it's really you're selling benefit. And it's about, and I got thinking about that, benefit or what value do I bring to you, the listener, the client, the person? How can I bring more value to your life? So that's what I've been contemplating lately. And that's why I've kind of pulled away from the traditional psyche, because I don't know if I'm really giving you value. Maybe I'm giving you some hope by telling you, well, in 3 months you'll meet whatever or you'll do whatever. If it comes that way and it happens, then I'm giving you hope. But if you're doubting it, then there is no hope in that. So what value am I giving you? How am I enriching your life would be another expression. So I'll have my spirit guides talk to you about this whole thing of fear, but also how we as spiritual teachers can bring value to your life. And I think as I go through this fear thing, that will become kind of more understandable, the fact of what I do or people like myself do that brings value to your life. If that makes sense at all, I don't know if it does, but it does make sense to me. But it's, you know, why would you go to somebody if they don't add value to your life, right? Some kind of pleasure or some kind of guidance or pleasure or direction. Now, like, why would you go to a movie unless you didn't have an emotional experience with it? And you walk out going, that was a dud, right? Right? You know, why would you listen to a piece of music unless it didn't move you emotionally in some way? Okay? Got it? Okay, so let's do some fears. You guys can, if you're in the chat room or if you want to call in, we'll talk about your specific fears. But we'll flip into love. And I have an article on intimacy, on building intimacy in relationships. And I thought that was a good article. Always want to take your calls. Always want to talk to you. Always want to see what spirit has to say to you and what your soul is telling you. You need to do this today. You know, like, I like that. I've been doing those readings lately where, okay, this is what your soul would want you to do in the next 24 hours or 48 hours. It's like right now. We live in the moment. We're living now. So what is our soul motivating us to do right now? Not 6 months from now, not 2 years from now. Even though you plan for it, it really is the moment. That's the most important thing. Because what else do you have but this moment, right? Yes. You can plan for other moments. Oh, top 10 fears. Oh, this is from an article from Self-Help Collective, Steve M. Nash's selfhelpcollective.com. So if you want to go there and look at the information. And he has a whole bunch of articles on a whole bunch of things on anger management, assertiveness, communication skills, goal setting, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we're good. So, do you suffer from fear of flying, fear of public speaking, fear of heights, etc.? Well, this page is for you. Well, it is really find a top 10 list of fears. Find your honest look at the deepest fears. Okay, I'm going to get on to that. There's a little quote in here I think is really cool. It's from Marianne Williamson, basically looking at the Course of Miracles. And the quote is, love is what we were born with. Fear is what we learned here. Ooh, isn't that a great quote? Let me read that again. And that's in my Brady quotes on fear anyway. But love is what we were born with. Fear is what we learned here. So let's go through the top 10. And I'll flip back and forth and see what you have to say. See if you agree with any of them. Number 10. Oops, is number, wait a minute. Number 1. I don't know if these are in any kind of order. I don't know if this is the top fear. This is the Gallup poll fear thing. So it's the Gallup poll. So let's see if you're agreeing with these at all. Fear of flying. Flying is statistically meant to be the safest form of traveling, and yet it's fear rated at number 1. Would you rate flying as your number 1 fear? And as we go through here, you'll see some other ones, and we'll see. Let me end this phone. I'm having an ongoing battle with AT&T over my... I'm trying to end this phone line because I don't use it, and all I get is solicitors, and I've called them 3 times. And they, for some reason, don't want to cancel the phone. I don't know. They want the money, right? Okay, let's go back to fear of flying. Fear of people not doing what they say they're going to do, right? So let me go through the article. I guess are those few times that planes crash and people die that makes the news. And thus, these fears are further fueled. I guess, too, that you feel more in control while driving your car. So I think it's a fear of being out of control, because I had a client once who had a fear of flying. And we got down to it and got to where all that fear came from. Because he was a salesperson, he had to fly. And it's like, and it was all about fear of letting go of control. And he went back to his youth. Okay, well, strange things are happening on my phone. I'm getting weird messages, but let me go on. I'm not going to let the distractions get to me. Okay, so do you suffer from this fear? And going back to the gentleman that I helped, it was going back to his childhood, and it was a fear of letting go and let control, so I had him take control. On an airplane, help other people, get involved, learn about flying, learn about just, you know, get really involved in the process of flying where he had some control of the situation in the cabin. And that helped him a lot. I got him to walk through in hypnosis, going through this whole process of helping other people and advising other people about the safety of flying. Just kind of being in control of the situation helped him a lot in his flying. So that's my experience of flying. I'm a little nervous about flying, but I'm not extreme. I think what helped me get over the fear of flying... Okay, we're not going to spend the whole hour on flying, but I thought this is interesting. I had a friend who was a private pilot, and he took out planes, and he would take a small plane, a Cessna, whatever it was, up, and he was getting his hours, and he took people with him to get his hours, and I went with him, and I sat in the second chair next to him, and he let me fly a little bit, you know, like kind of there, kind of making sure I didn't dive into the Catalina Island or anything, but, you know, over the ocean, he let me be in control a little bit. So that helped me to overcome my fear of flying, because I was up there. So if you're really afraid of flying and you want to overcome it, go up with a small pilot in a smaller plane and sit there and watch them and see what they do and feel like, oh yeah, it's not, yeah, this, it, there's no reason to fear this. Okay. Because we had some really kind of interesting events happen while flying, but yeah, you get to trust the process by being involved in the process. So flying, I don't have that one as much as I used to. Okay, fear of public speaking. Now, I don't have that one at all. Obviously, if I'm talking to you here, and I was in the ministry for years, and I did a lot of public speaking, and I was in high school, I was in speech and debate, and did a lot of tournaments. So fear and, you know, fear of public speaking is not one that I have. You get nervous. But nah, now this fear is much more understandable to me. This must be one of the most people's deepest fears. Even those who are expert public speakers like President Obama getting nervous beforehand, I am sure. But yeah, you get nervous, but you're not afraid to go out there. And I think really having something to say kind of overcomes the fear. Yeah. So it's the fear of flubbing your lines. I went through a period in my life and where I got stage fright. I couldn't speak. I'd get up there and I would choke up. Now I've overcome that, and I'm not sure why I had it, but I think I know why I had it. But we'll go there, okay? Fear of heights. Now, this is one of my biggies. So are we hitting on any of yours yet? Are we hitting on any of your fears yet? You got the fear of flying, fear of public speaking. Fear of public speaking, fear of flying, and let's get into the fear of heights. Now, I have that. And my fear of heights is a little different than most people. Mine is of artificial heights, man-made heights. And I knew where that came from as a childhood, okay? As jokingly say on the most common fear pages, my fear is really by my jumping out or jumping or landing. You know, I have a fear of people pushing me out. So my fear is heights. Well, we'll leave that there. You have a fear of heights? Fear of the dark. You have a fear of the dark? I, as a kid, I had the fear of the dark a little bit. Oh, the demons are going to come and get me, right? Kind of fear. The devil's going to get me. The devil is going to get me. Fear of things that go bump in the night. What about you? Do you have a fear of bump in the night? I know we're going to flip from fear to love in a few minutes, but I just wanted to go through. I thought these were interesting. I want to get people involved. Now, if you want to call in and talk about something you need help on, please give me a call. But I'm going through the top 10 fears, and we're talking about fear versus love. And I'll get into the love part in a couple minutes, I promise. But I just wanted to go through these fears, have a little fun here, see what fears kind of resonate with you. So far I've gone through those. Just join me later. Ooh, top 10 fears I've gone through. Number one is fear of flying. Number two is public speaking. Number three is fear of heights, which I have. And mine are natural man-made bridges and stuff and freeway things that go way up in the air into the sky kind of thing. That's my fear. Fear of the dark? Nah, I don't have a fear of the dark anymore. Actually, I can sit and meditate in the dark. Doesn't bother me at all. But as a child, ooh, fear of the dark. Okay, this now we're getting into more personal stuff. And this is more like fear of intimacy. Ooh, number five on the list is fear of intimacy. And there, and that ties in with another one that's a little bit later down on the list. This top 10 fear is summed up beautifully by the expression, I'm into me, see. And I guess some of us, not just men either, don't like the idea of people looking into them. I think other fears, fear of rejection, fear of commitment, fear of failure, come into play too. It's a fear of change also. When change can be scary for all of us at times. Like most fears, fear of intimacy limits us as individual human beings. I don't really think I have, you know, it's like I really don't have anything to hide at this point in my life. I've been pretty open about my life in a lot of different places, doing this, talking to people. No, I don't think I have a fear of intimacy. No. What about you? Do you have a fear of intimacy? I mean, yeah, I don't know you, and you know, some folks here really don't, you know. But any of these fears touching home with you so far? As a good hypnotherapist as I was or is or whatever it is. As a good hypnotherapist, I would like to help you with some of those, but I don't. So, fear of intimacy. So, we're going to move on to the next fear in a moment. I got to... Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Next fear. Top 10 fear, intimacy, fear of death. And I think if you take fear of death, but you also, a lot of people have the fear of death of being just kind of abandoned or unloved or nobody around, or you know, I know we all die alone, and I've heard that expression 100 times. Oh, you're going to be alone when you die, and there's nobody dying with you. But it's like dying alone in some crazy room all by yourself and no family and nobody to love you at that point in time in your life. And I think that's there's a little bit of fear. Fear of bridges. I have that too, the fear of bridges, yeah. Mine's a little bit about the heights, then it's usually more about freeway off ramps that go way up in the air and then go off to the left. I'm always, my fear is I'm going to fly off into space, right? I mean, the big bridges like the Golden Gate Bridge, I can do. If you get me in the center lane on any of these big bridges, I'm okay. If I'm the edge, I'm a little iffy about the edge, especially ones that are doing off to the left or off to the right, mostly off to the left, and I know where that came from. So any other fears? We're going through the fears here. Yeah, I can get that fear of bridges, and most people don't. I guess most people don't have that. Okay, the next one. We've got a fear of intimacy, fear of death. Well, that's pretty obvious, but I think that's really more about the fear of being unloved and no one there when you die that loves you. And just, you can tell me if I'm wrong or what you feel about that. Fear of failure. Ooh, there's an understandable term in the list of most common fears. Even successful fear suffer from this fear, I'm sure. And I think it fuels many of other top 10 fears. Fear of failure. I have that fear. I do have that fear. And I rely on spirit to help me, to show me what I can be successful at. Because you, and then if you've had a few of those starts and stops in life, where you've started a project and then it didn't work out, and you started another project, you know, business-wise and otherwise, you start a project and it didn't work out, you start a project and it doesn't work out, you have the fear of, oh my God, it's going to fail again. So that's where the fear of failure comes in, I believe. How do you overcome that one? That's a good one. You have to be passionate about something, and you have to be persistent. And I'm good at persistent. I don't know if you're good at persistent, but you have to be persistent. You have to see the end. You have to see the value in what you're doing. You have to really have a passion for what you're doing and really see the value in it. And that'll help you overcome the fear of failure. Because you know you're doing the right thing. You know you're doing something really important for yourself and for humanity. And you're willing to push forward even though you have fear. Does that make sense? So that's my take on that. But it's still there. It's still in the back of my mind a little bit. And I don't know about you. What if this fails? What if I do this and it just doesn't? People don't like me, you know. It's like people don't like me. I think that's part of one of my thing about life is I wanted to be liked. Okay, this is another one of my. We all have these fears, right? I mean, like, whoa, go through the list. I got this one, I got this one, I got this one, and I got this one too. Okay, fear of rejection. And the author of this article said, okay, this is probably my number one fear, and it's being rejected. And that has a little bit to do with the fear of failure. You know, being rejected, you fear failure because you're afraid you're going to be rejected, right? And that's in relationships. I have a fear of abandonment, which is really related to that. My father died when I was young. My older brother, who was living with us, moved to California, which we followed thereafter, shortly thereafter. But it was this fear of rejection, like my father rejected me, so he died. I know that's twisted, but it's, you know. And then my brother and we could go through the whole list here of being rejected by people. You know, you get into relationships and they say, I don't want a relationship with you. So you're afraid to get into a relationship because you're afraid of being rejected by the other person. Do anybody have that one? Oh, I know. People have left me here but that's a big one, isn't it? Fear of rejection. Ooh. You know, I'm not giving you solutions today. Maybe we can talk about that. But I'll give you some love solutions in a minute. I don't want to spend the whole show on this. So let's get back to the next one. Fear of spiders. Some people have, you know, I'm not afraid of spiders. Spiders are okay with me. Snakes, yeah, I get. Snakes I would put in there higher in the list. Fear of commitment. I chuckle because I hear that one all the time. This so-called man fear of commitment affects all of us. Yeah, it does. it really does affect all of us, men and women. But it's not just a commitment in a relationship. It's commitment to a job, a commitment to this, a commitment to that. And that's, these are all so interrelated, because a fear of commitment means I might fail or I might reject it, right? And I think in the case of men, it's the fear of responsibility. It's the fear of failure in a relationship. So the fear of commitment really leads into the fear of failure and rejection, right? What do you think? That's my thought on it. So we're getting through these fears. What do you think? I want to hear what other fears you might have other than those. I mentioned some of mine. I went through the list. I have a fear of snakes, which is like not on the list, but I think that's pretty high up for a lot of people too. A lot of people don't, you know, like the idea of a snake. Ooh, that's for me. Okay, so let's go through that. Let's go into the next section. I have some Brainy quotes on fears, and I thought I'd get to the BrainyQuotes.com, which is a really good place. It talks a little bit about fear and the opposite of fear. So, again, I would say if you want to call in, talk about what's going on with you, if you need spirit to give you some advice, I am going to let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit about this. I think before I get into the quotes, some of the other quotes from the Course of Miracles on love, because now we're going to flip into a little bit of love, too, because we're going to go to the opposite. Fear keeps us... Okay, this is Thich Nhat Hanh. I'm not sure he was really seriously a beautiful, beautiful Buddhist teacher and writer. I'm not sure if he pulled through the illness or not. I heard he was really ill, but I'm not sure what happened. Fear keeps us focused on the past or worried about the future. If we can acknowledge our fear, if we can realize that right now, we are okay. Right now, today, we are still alive and our bodies are working marvelously. Our eyes can still see the beautiful sky. Our ears can hear the voices of our loved ones. So what he's saying is stay in the moment. The moment's not so bad, okay? Franklin Delano Roosevelt once, and the most famous quote, one of the most famous quotes on fear is, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." I like this Plato quote, and this is a beautiful quote, and think about this one for a little while. And I think I'm going to put this on Facebook for people to look at, because it's an amazing quote. I'm going, it's amazing, you know, absolutely amazing. Okay, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. You can use the word light in many different ways there. The light of truth, the light from God, just the light. Yeah, are we afraid of the light? I love this. Salvador Dali, famous painter, and I love his work. Now, some people really don't like his work, but I love it. Okay, he wrote, this is a quote from him, "I have no fear of perfection. You'll never reach it." Isn't that a beautiful quote? Think about it. You're never going to be perfect. You can reach for it. Don't be afraid of being perfect, or I have to be too perfect. Always have to be too perfect. Always have to be too perfect. Nope. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. Okay. Dorothy Thompson. I don't know Dorothy. Okay. Only when we are no longer afraid do we begin to live. Ooh. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, always do what you're afraid to do. Yeah, you push through your fears. Do what you're afraid to do. Like drive over bridges. Right? Drive over bridges. Practice driving over bridges, right? Yeah, practice driving. My friend in the chat room here, I got a question for you. And I got a caller, so I'll take the caller in a moment. We're talking about fears and some great quotes on the opposite of fear, on love. Okay, fear of the future. I think you're. I would summarize you're saying that you have a fear of the future. Now, I might be wrong on that one, but it really feels like when you say you're afraid of what's going on, means I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid that something horrible is going to happen to me. I'm afraid that I'm not going to get what I want in life. I'm afraid that this, right? Okay, so if I'm wrong, okay, but go ahead, comment on me. Comment to me in the chat room. I'll take a call and we'll get going here. We'll talk a little bit about how to overcome that fear, right? That's a tough one. You know, afraid of the future. Is it rejection? I mean, fear of the future is afraid of rejection, a fear of failure. Some people have a fear of success, which I studied in school. It could be any of those. It could be the future. If you're afraid of the future, you're afraid of what's going to happen. So are you going to fail? Are you going to be rejected? Are you afraid of success? Are you afraid that you're not good enough? So, yeah, it's an interesting take. So we'll talk about that. Well, yes. Oh, well, this is really good. Let me take the call because these are all really good thoughts in the chat room. And I know for people that are listening going, what is he talking about? Or not in the chat room. But there's a fear of, the control issue is really big. I can't control going on in the future. I can't control the future. But who can? You know, the comment is, who can control the future? I mean, other than God, the universe, spirit, source, energy, who else? And God doesn't even control the future because he gives us free will to do our will, to do what we're going to do in the future. He allows us that free will. We're not puppets. Believe it or not, we're not puppets. Some people say, well, no, we're not puppets. We get to go on into our lives. So we'll talk more about love because, you know, if you sit in these fears, you're really kind of separating yourself from love. And we'll talk, because I wanted to go into the love thing a little bit, some quotes on love. And in a minute, let me take a call. And I want my, you know, I actually have my spirit guides talk about this too, because this is a really good subject. Hello.
Hi, George. I'm in the chat room. It's Melissa.
Oh, hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome topic. Not many people want to touch on this, George. And I'm glad that you are.
But we all have fears. We just don't, right?
We do.
But sometimes embracing our fears, not necessarily challenging our fears, at least knowing what they are.
Yeah.
Is the first step to overcoming the fear.
Yeah.
I'm
a bridge person.
The
fear of bridges evolved over the years for me, though. I live in a coastal town. It is impossible to leave town without going on a bridge. And we have three bridges that lead out. There's one huge one, one medium one, and one smaller one. And I had about 10 years ago, maybe nine, had singled myself that I could drive, you know, over the small one. It was okay. It was safe. And I was on my way to a funeral, and I was in the back seat of a car at my grandfather's funeral. I really didn't want to go to the funeral. But anyway, the bridge went up, and we had to sit.
Ah.
And I had to sit and look down at that water, and I just wanted to jump out of that car.
You had an anxiety attack, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you kind of sweaty and nervous.
I didn't want to go to that funeral. Yeah.
Mine would be if I'm going over certain. Mine are not all bridges, but they're like freeway things that go way up in the air and they kind of go.
Mine evolved into all bridges. Like it was an evolution.
Yeah, that happens. Have you ever seen a hypnotherapist on this or a therapist?
No, but I used EFT. And I thought that it worked, but I still haven't gone to try to drive over the bridges.
Well, I would suggest what you do, and as I was talking about earlier about the client that I had who was a fear of flying, it's the same thing. You go back and you deal with it and you minimize the fear. You have to minimize the fear. You have to go back and you have to kind of displace the fear at some point, and you usually do that from the subconscious mind and not the conscious mind. And it's I've gotten over a lot of my fear, but there's certain ones I have. That one I still have, yes.
Yeah,
I would suggest what you do is you see a hypnotherapist or a therapist that can take you back.
Yeah.
And I study the thing called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP.
Yeah,
and
NLP,
helps,
yep.
That helps a lot.
Yep.
Because you, what you do is you change the outcome. You create an you go from the mental image of what it is to a mental image that's okay. Okay.
I don't even know what I think is going to happen though. I even have dreams of riches. I dream of them.
Okay, so that's what you need to face too. Is where did it come from? What is the fear from? That's like my friend, the client, where I. You know, I took him back. He was afraid of flying. It took him back to his childhood.
Yeah.
He was on a. He would have those little merry-go-rounds that you push and then you jump on.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the littlest kid, and the bigger kids were tormenting him by making him go faster and faster and faster and faster. They lost control.
Yeah.
He was out of control. He couldn't control the situation. So when he got in an airplane, he was out of control.
Yeah.
And so
I can't stop this. I can't get off.
Right.
That's how I felt.
Oh, so you lost control.
It is a control issue, isn't it?
Yeah, you lost control of the situation. So you just transferred that when you drive. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to start visualizing it being safe.
That's pretty good, George. You're hitting it.
So
okay,
you need to start visualizing that you're able to do this. No,
okay.
Is it four lane bridges?
There's one 4-lane, there's one another 4-lane, and then a 2-lane. We have like one huge bridge. We call it the high level, and it doesn't open. I live in a shipping port, so we have a lot of big tankers that come in and out. And
Where do you live?
I live in Maine.
Okay.
So they come in, they bring salt and fuel.
I would start with the lowest bridge, or what seems to be the simplest bridge, especially if it's a 4-lane, and because you're going to get in the center lane, you're going to go away from the edge as much as you can, right?
Yep.
And you're going to start visualizing yourself being in control, like you're in control of the situation, you're in control of everything, you're in control of the bridge, you know, if it's going to go up or down.
Yeah.
You have the control of everything. Around you.
Okay.
You need to start visualizing that you have, and I would start with the lowest bridge that's a 4-lane, so you don't want to start with the biggest one in a 2-lane.
No,
or it might
God,
be a
George,
little free.
I don't know what would happen.
Yeah. Well, you got to,
I don't know.
But see, you said you evolved into this, so overnight you're not going to say, oh, I'm going to get off this bridge. I'm going to just do this, right?
Yeah.
You could, but I doubt if you will. You just panic.
When
you get close to the bridge, you'll get the anxiety attack. You'll start to get breathing funny and get really nervous. Yeah, and you won't do it.
Yeah.
But if you start off at the lower bridge and start visualizing yourself doing it, I would steady bridges if I was you. I would look at pictures of bridges.
Do you think I'm a control freak, George?
Let me ask Spirit. I'm not going to answer that one for you. I'll let Spirit answer that for you, okay?
Okay.
Yes. 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 You want to control your environment.
Yes.
You want to control your...
I don't want to control other people. I don't
you
have
that need. Did I say... I said environment and not people.
You didn't. No, you didn't. I threw that in because I wanted to definitely... It is, you're right, the environment. You're right.
So you know what?
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna move on in the show, but yeah, you need to.
Wow,
You need to work on this fear. What else in the environment do you fear, or are you trying to control that you can't control?
I guess it's not. Well, the whole thing.
Do you want to control weather?
No. No.
Okay.
It happens.
Yeah. So. So it's the things that can happen, that could happen, that may not happen. The things that you may be able to influence in some way, like a bridge.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, controlling the environment. Yeah, control it. You like to control traffic. Do you get frustrated in traffic?
In the last few years, yes. Before, I never thought of it.
Yeah, but now you get frustrated if it's going slow, you're in traffic, you're like, you want to get out of there, you want people to get out of the way, you start, you know, in yourself, rah, 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 get out of the way, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I don't road rage. I don't yell and scream or blow the horn.
But internally, you're kind of like, get out of my way.
Yeah.
You're wasting my time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So these are issues to work on.
They are.
I don't have a simple answer right now because I don't have time.
No, that is it. I don't think there is a simple answer. Yeah.
Well, it's.
Maybe there
I
is.
Hear the I hear. Let me give you an. Let me give you the word that I hear for you. Okay, I get the word deflection. Like you're in those situations, and I'm not some. Even in the bridge, where you deflect your thoughts to something else, you put yourself in an altered state. Not that you're going to lose control of driving, but you're like you have something that you're passionate about and you're thinking about, or you have passionate music on, or you have something that really can you're deflecting yourself from the moment, okay?
Yeah.
And you're putting yourself in a different place, you know. Here's an interesting thing about bridges I'm hearing, and this is really strange, but I'll give it to you anyway, okay?
Hmm.
Are you afraid of flying?
I never used to be, but the last time I flew, oh my God, it was, oh, yeah.
But can you imagine yourself flying just like flying, like a bird?
Absolutely.
Well, when you're in a car and you're on a bridge, imagine yourself flying.
Yeah.
Let go, be a bird.
But if I'm that's the thing. Look, if I'm driving with my husband and he's driving, I feel that he is a really unattentive driver. I know that he is. He misses exits all the time. He gets lost. He just sort of goes into this state of not even, you know what I mean?
Dear, I can't spend too much more time with you.
Like near accidents all the time.
But, so you're losing control here. I mean, with him, you're out of control. He's out of control.
Absolutely.
So you've lost control of the situation. You cannot control this situation without getting into a huge fight and taking over the driving and getting him really upset with you, right?
Absolutely.
So you want to control the situation, but you can't.
You know, it must
here's
be something
my, here's
between
the, let me give
ahead.
You a quick approach to this, and then and you might you can this is something between you and him, okay?
It is, isn't
you, it's a presenting him as a problem. Here's my problem. I love you dearly. I really love our relationship. But
I do.
But when I'm driving with you, you put me in a state of fear.
Absolutely.
And I don't want that to affect our relationship at all, ever. I don't want that.
Yeah.
So how can – now, you put this on him, though. You're not going to solve his problem. He's got to solve this. How can we do this? What can you do to resolve this problem? And you can explain it in details about what happens and why you're in this fearful control state, you know, and lovingly express it to him and ask him, okay, go think about this. Give it some time. How can you fix this so I don't feel this way? And let him come up with an answer.
I might not get a nice answer.
So what? At least you got him thinking about it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And this, you brought up the issue. You can't just hold this big fear of not expressing yourself, right?
Yeah, he has a major commute to work, and he's drives all the time. He's very used to driving, and he's a very unconscious driver.
Okay, well, maybe you should take over the driving when you're out together, because
he can do it.
But you need a break.
He'd say to me, you're hitting all the potholes.
Well, I'm going to leave you this. I mean, you think about this one of presenting the problem. I mean, other than duct tape, you really don't have much of a choice here. You're putting on blinders in your iPad or your iPhone and listening to music with blinders on, or you drive and use duct tape on him.
Yeah, I could. I could.
No, but that ain't going to work. I know, but you'll work.
Can you imagine being, I'm driving him one time, and he's like, you're driving so fast, you're going to drive the gas out. I said, what?
Well, that sounds like my daughter and me. She doesn't like my driving. Dad, you're too close. Dad, you're doing this. Dad, you're doing that. Dad, you're so old. Dad, why are you following people? Dad, watch out, Dad. It's like, you know, I'm glad
well,
I love
you know what?
Her.
This is a good laugh.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, but yeah, you can
work
on this.
Thank you, George.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank
Take care.
You.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
That's a tough one. Oh, I got into the fears. That was fun. Okay, so let me give you a couple, if I can find it again. It didn't go away. This is from A Course in Miracles, and we're going to flip into the other end of fear. We're going to get into love because, you know, in a lot of spiritual teachings, you have two things. You have love and fear. You have both end of the spectrums, and everything falls on one side of the line or the other. It's either on the love side or the fear side. I mean, there's other emotions, of course, and people go, oh, there's lots of emotions, not just love and fear. But if you look at it, there's two sides of it. There's something that's on the negative or something's on the positive. Okay, let me find the quotes I was looking for. This is from, from Anxiety to Love, Finding Inner Peace with a Course in Miracles. Now, I'm just using this. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. I love that. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. Appreciation, you know, and it's like if you got problems and fears, start thinking about things that you appreciate. Flip into the appreciation or gratitude stage, right? I love this quote. The ego's brew insanity. The ego's brew insanity. I love this quote. The sun in you has risen. And I know I'm going through these rather quickly, but we'll bump on some of these. And I want my spirit guides to talk to you for a few minutes. So every prayer that has been said is for you because we are one. Rest today wrapped in love. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Every prayer that has been asked for you because we are one. Rest today wrapped in love. Yes. I'm not going to analyze these. And all healing, I love this, all healing is essentially the release from fear. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And the placebo effect and all these other books that are written on this kind of basic subject are saying if you can move from fear to love, you can heal every aspect of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally. And I like this quote, and this is kind of related to this, that you don't have to believe everything you think. You can let it go. You can let it go. You don't have to believe it. And of course, for miracle, be happy for your only function here, being on the planet. Your only function here is happiness. Now, happiness is on the love side, isn't it? It's not on the fear. If you're happy, you're not necessarily, you know, you're not in fear, right? Happiness. I'm just looking for a couple more. The ego is much ado about nothing. Ooh, that's not a great quote. The ego is much ado about nothing. Okay, well, there's probably one. I read through all these, and I did want to do one or two later. I let go of trying to master fear. Now, that's a cool. I let go of trying to master fear, I am willing to learn how to master love. Now, that's a great quote in the sense that you're not spending all your time trying to deal with your fears. You don't have to spend all your time, right? Spend all your time figuring how to love more. If you love more, and if you go to love instead of fear, then the fear kind of goes away. I know that seems really simplistic, but there's a lot of truth in that. I like this quote. No one who truly seeks the peace of God can fail to find it. Ooh, isn't that a beautiful statement? Okay, where am I at time-wise? I don't know. Where am I at time-wise? This is from Anxiety to Love. It's from anxietytolove.com, okay? So if you want to look up that article, look up articles there. Please, that's up to you. Okay. So what am I doing next? Oh, I got 15 minutes. Let me have Spirit talk to you for a minute. It's my spirit guides and about this idea of fear and love and see what they have to say. I think it would be good to tap into something outside of George for a little while. So I'm going to go away. They'll talk to you for a few minutes, then we'll come back and do whatever we're going to do, right? We look at fear versus love from a little different perspective. And we'll give you this, that you may or may not agree with this. Fear is based on selfishness. Now you think, well, wait a minute, selfishness. How can you say fear is based on selfishness? Well, all humans are selfish at some level because all humans are about something that themselves. It's about the self. It's about preservation of the self. It's about honoring the self. Fear is about the preservation of the self. Whether it's like the caller talked about the fear of the bridge, that's a preservation of the self. The fear of spiders, it's a fear of the preservation of the self, not getting hurt, not getting injured, not having spider bites, not getting seriously ill from us. It's a preservation of the self. So fear is about, if you look at it, and it could be the physical body, it could be the mental body, it could be the emotional body, but all fear is related to a selfishness. Now, we're not saying that's bad. No, we're not saying that if you're walking down a dark alley late at night and you know there's a lot of gang members in the area, that obviously there's fear. And fear here is about preservation of the self, correct? There's nothing wrong with that fear. Now, why you would be there in the first place, that's another question. You know, if you're challenging your fears, maybe that's not the best place to challenge a fear when you know that there's gang members with guns and so forth hanging out in alleys. But that's the point. You get the point. Certain areas, certain things you do, you know there's going to be fearful situations, but it's about preserving you as the self. And it's ego-based in the sense, and the ego is not necessarily a bad thing because you all are ego at some level. It's the ego wants to survive, the self wants to survive. Correct? You understand that. And there's value in that. There's value in preserving, because for no other reason than you're not completed with your life and you have things to do and challenges and you have children to take care of and husbands and wives and family and friends and you want to be around for a while. That's, of course, that's selfish, but it's natural. It's normal. It's human. Okay, so we'll just say that fear. So it's let's move to the other extreme. What is love? What is love? Okay, I mean, there's a lot of definitions of love, and we won't get into all the various definitions, but for our discussion here about fear versus love, love is the divine connection. Love is the connection to God or spirit or the universe. Love is connection. We've been emphasizing this lately, so we're gonna mention this. Love is living from the soul. It's not living from the body. It's not living from the human essence. It's living from the soul. So love is that connection to something greater than yourself. Of course you love yourself and you love your body and you love preserving your body, but it's a positive energy. It's a positive doing. It's an appreciation of who you are, but it's a oneness with who you are. And it's a oneness with the universe. It's love. It's that universal energy that goes through and permeates all of every life that there is. And every existence that there is love. So when you move towards love and away from fear, you're no longer in dread of preserving who you are, because you know that you are connected to the divine. You know that you're under the umbrella of the divine. You know that God, the universe, is always with you because you are so attached to that love. And that love will preserve you, will keep you, will help you to move through life with a bubble, with a bubble. You know, it's like that boy in the bubble. You go through life in this protected state. Not that there won't be challenges and difficulties and fears won't arise in your life. We're not being naive and saying you're just going to go through life completely oblivious to anything around you. Of course not. But you're in that bubble of love, and life goes on, and you achieve happiness. You achieve the state of bliss. You achieve the sense of purpose. You achieve, and you don't notice the negative things. They're not as prevalent in your life. They're not as dominant. We would say that those who have a fear of certain things, if they would embrace love completely, fully, and immerse themselves in love and appreciation of all the beauty in the world around them, that will minimize the fear within their lives. They're still going to have fear, but it won't be dominant. It's like the picture. Is the picture of fear, or is there a picture of love? And the more you move into love, the more that picture of fear, of fearful things, seems to get smaller and more distant and blurred, while things that you love and appreciate get stronger and stronger and stronger. So what's the solution? It really depends on the individual, but it is moving towards love. It's being all embraced in love. Everything that you do is based on this divine love. Every action you take is based on love. Every movement is based on love. Every decision is based on love. Every choice you make is based on love. And the more you live by this divine love, this soulful love, the fears become more and more minimized. And when there is fear, there's a reliance then on love, on that connection, that umbrella of love you have from the divine, which will protect you from fear. And bottom line, and this is kind of a statement we make all the time, and most people don't want to hear it. What's the worst case scenario for you? What is the worst case? You get to leave the physical body and go home and go into this beautiful state of love. I know that's something you don't want to do. You want to live it as long as you possibly can. But the worst case is you leave the physical body and you go to this beautiful place of love, where love is everything. Now, we could get into this whole discussion of why would you come here? Why would you come to a physical place? Why would you come to the earth if it's such a beautiful state of love? And that's a whole different discussion. But we're talking about fear and love. We want you to move towards love, and the fears won't be as dominant. The fears will become smaller. The fears will dissipate. The fears will be replaced by love. And when you're in the state of love and you're doing what you love to do, you're less likely to put yourself in a state of fear. You're less likely to introduce yourself to fearful situations. You're less likely to go down that alley. You're less likely to challenge situations that are fear-based situations. You're less likely to get absorbed in the news that broadcasts all the fears about the beheadings and all that is going on in the world and all the trouble and all the shootings. You're more likely, if you're embracing love, to watch something inspiring, to read something inspiring, to listen to something that's inspiring, because you gravitate towards love. You gravitate to inspiring and motivational and beautiful things in your life versus the negative in the world. You pull away, you leave the negative behind, and you move towards love. Not that it will completely go away and you'll notice it, but as soon as you notice it, you recognize it, see it's going on, and then you move towards love. We would love all of humanity to do that. We would love for humanity to embrace love, to put aside the fear, to put aside the anger, to put aside the extremes of selfishness. And we could talk about the extreme. You know what the extremes of selfishness are. That's yours. I want it because I want it to be mine, kind of thing. That's the extremes of selfishness, isn't it? Things like that. So we want you to embrace love. And we can talk a little bit about, George is asking about how he and other teachers can bring value to your lives. And simply put, how any great teacher, spiritual leader, whatever practitioner they are, what a practitioner of whatever arts that they're practicing towards other humans, what value can they bring to you, that other human? It's love. Helping that person to embrace love. Helping them to remove the fears, letting the fears go, so that love. You know, if you're a healer, a hands-on healer, you're removing fear. Fear, which is related to disease, which is a negative energy. So you're removing that. You're allowing the person to heal themselves because you're removing the fear that's related to the illness, and you're allowing them to embrace love, loving themselves, healing themselves, bringing in loving energy to heal themselves, talking themselves into love and talking themselves into healing. That's what a healer does. And whatever level that is, mental, spiritual, physical, it's about embracing love. So healers, teachers, what value do they bring to people? Simply put, they teach love. They heal with love. Because love is the magic potion that will heal. Now, whether you agree with that or don't agree with that, how it's administered is the whole thing here. So we talk to teachers and we say to them, teach with love. Do things with love. Do things with humor. Do things with compassion. Do things with kindness. Do things with forgiveness. Teach those qualities. Emphasize those qualities. Show people how they can live their lives with those qualities, the empathy for others, the kindness towards others, the humor in life, the looking for the positive, looking for love, looking for humor, looking for things to laugh at and enjoy, feeling that blissful existence, finding your purpose, what's your purpose, getting so ingrained in that purpose and so much loving that purpose that everything else fades away. That's what teachers do. And that's what value they can bring to your life. I'm not just talking about this particular host, George. We're talking about all great teachers and healers and spiritual teachers. It's about love and embracing love and a love for life and a love for passion and love for things that are your purpose in life. And if you're so ingrained and so involved in those things, the others go away. You become bold. You become persistent. You don't fear failure because you know you're doing what you need to be doing. You know you're living that passion, that love of what you're doing. Okay, we'll leave it at that. So that's the answer to that question. And so we'll speak to you soon. Bye. Oh, wow. I'm back. Okay. I'm back. I'm kind of like, okay, got about 2 minutes left. Spirit really went off there, didn't they? It is about love, isn't it? You know, the opposite of embracing love. So I asked that question of Spirit. Okay, what can I do? How can I bring value to people's lives? How can I really bring value? And they kind of, you know, they kind of whispered at me, but in this channeling, which I just did, and it wasn't just for me, but as anybody who is a spiritual practitioner of any forms, Spirit is saying, just be love, teach love, show how love can change people's lives by embracing what they're passionate about. And isn't that a beautiful thought? They just said that healing starts with love. You love yourself. A willingness to let go of the negativity within your body. Okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. I got 90 seconds. I'll be back. Ooh, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about something. I don't know what yet. We will be back. And we'll let Spirit talk to you and add some articles, which I didn't get to. Yes. So thank you for listening today. I really appreciate it. Thank for those who in the chat room or call and got involved in this idea of fear, but that love is the opposite. Yes. And it's, some things I've been reading lately, it gets into this whole idea. Attaching yourself means attaching yourself. Attaching yourself to love means attaching yourself to your soul, your higher self, because that is love. That greater part of yourself, the inner being, whatever you call it, whatever word you want to put to it, I like the word soul. Soul, your soul is love. So it's about attaching yourself to your soul. Living a soulful life. living a life in the divine nature, which is love. And if you can do that, you're aware of fear, you're aware of the things around you, but you're living love. So thank you again. I'm just rattling on and on here a little bit because Spirit got me thinking about love. So thank you again. I love you guys. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate those who call in. And I'll be back tomorrow.